Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, a beautiful afternoon for a good game of football now, and it looks as though we have the makings of it.
Barnes has come in. Oh, a fine goal by John Barnes. That's a beauty.
Absolutely emphatic.
And Jay Demiric. Oh, yes. Luther Plissett. That's a spectacular goal.
And Helgeson comes in first. Oh, it's a goal.
And a goal. Sensational.
Hello and welcome to the Watford Buzz podcast. Just myself and Jordan this afternoon, this evening, wherever you're listening to us from. No, Tom, he is on leave. So he's going to miss a good one because we're talking about a game in Southampton, Jordan, where we weren't sure exactly what we were going to get. Southampton in a good run of form, former Premier League side, just dropped down. It was going to be a tricky game, but I think we more than held our own in that one. What do you reckon?
Yeah, no, I thought we were really good, actually. We had obviously anticipated being a tough one. It was a team that's in the kind of Vicarage Road and looked to dominate the ball. You know, they're one of those teams that stick to their game plan regardless of opponent, and we were to be no different in that sense. But yeah, I think off the back of the whole game, which is almost kind of a good build up, a good kind of, you know, practice run on playing a team like this Southampton side. I thought we held up pretty well.
Only one change to the starting lineup, and the midfield area wasn't occupied by Jake Livermore. Serrauta came in instead. Do you feel like the team felt that loss?
No, I didn't. Not too bad. You know, I think Serrauta did well. It wasn't maybe the game that kind of required as much of that Livermore presence in some respects. But, you know, I think Francisco did pretty well in there. And, you know, I think Jake Livermore's done extremely well when he's been called upon. And he'll probably get back into the team. There's a good chance he gets back into the team when fit. I know it's potentially available for tomorrow, for Tuesday, that is. But, no, I thought he did well, considering that, you know, it was not easy to come back in. He's been out of the team for a little while with injury, been playing in a different position a couple of weeks before that when he was available. So, yeah, it was good from him.
Mm. Let's talk about that first half then, Jordan. What was your thoughts on that one?
Well, I think it was just solid. You know, again, it's the team that's in the kind of Vicarage Road to control the ball, and we had to be a little bit more passive in terms of that ball possession. But we did hurt them. I thought we countered quite well. A couple of shaky moments, but for the most part, I thought we started to kind of grow into the game in that first half. And, you know, the fullbacks were both doing well. I think we're getting to see the best of Lewis down there on the left. We got to see those players kind of push Southampton back and kind of respect the fact that we could counter. We looked just more disciplined. I don't just mean defensively so, but even in our build up, in our counters, we looked very organised. There was structure there. You could tell the players really had an understanding of where the teammates were going to be and kind of how to get at a Southampton team that's going to be quite high up the pitch.
Yeah, Lewis had a really good game, didn't he? Got a lot of plaudits after that one and earned some praise off the manager as well. He's certainly really been growing into his performances of late, and he's looking like the player that we were hoping we were going to get when we signed him.
Oh, definitely. You know, I think it helps massively so to have a team that's starting to get a little bit more settled in their own kind of style of play. It allows him to do that as well. And yeah, he's starting to look much closer to that. And, you know, same for Andreas as well on the right. I thought he looked much better offering more, you know, width down the right-hand side, and we kind of really get to see under Ngakia and that presence to go forward, the speed to get there, and also that recovery as well on the way back. So yeah, you know, if it wasn't for the goalkeeper, we could have easily, you know, had a little bit more luck in that first half, and a lot of that's down to the extra help from the fullbacks too.
Yeah, Watford had a lot of shots in that game, almost double the amount that Southampton had.
Yeah, and this is becoming a bit of a trend, isn't it? You know, we talked about that clip, that training ground clip with Valerian Ismail kind of, you know, encouraging the team to take more shots, get more shots away. I think, you know, that's a little bit of a mindset he's kind of instilled into the players. You know, take opportunities, take chances. If there's a half chance, go for it. You know, you want to build that confidence and also create that kind of element of chaos that we know that he likes in certain areas. And, you know, you could even, we don't get too far ahead of ourselves, but there's an element of that in the final goal as well, the equaliser. That was very much so, you know, an opportunity which was somewhat speculative, but it was one that resulted in a goal. So it's definitely something we're working on. You kind of look over the last few games and you're going to see that this Watford team is going to kind of rack up those shots and try and take opportunities, even if they're not in always the most kind of nailed on situations. You know, lots of shots outside the box, on the edge of the box, but where we are testing the goalkeeper, and he was pretty good that day, minus the equaliser, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, after a first half where we'd been, you know, pretty productive, getting shots in, as you say, it must have been disappointing for yourself to see us go down not too long into the second half with Adams and that strike from sort of just inside the penalty area.
Yeah, it was disappointing. And, you know, it was one of those things, wasn't it? Because it was a game where we were the counter-attacking team, and then we have a little bit of spill of possession and dominance, and of course we get countered and scored on. So, unfortunate, but that was an efficient move from Southampton to finish it off, and obviously Adams did very well. I had a couple people ask if Hamer should have done better, but I think the way he takes it down, I think Hamer's just anticipating that shot across goal, and it's so close, his body's between them, he kind of has to commit to a side, and Adams just kind of obviously just hits it hard down the middle, and that's enough. But yeah, really efficient work from Southampton. And I think, you know, again, testament to the character of the team. You know, we're a team that's racked up quite a few late equalisers, late winners this season. And I think the kind of continuation of that effort and that presence of mind to keep going later on that game and not just capitulate after that first goal, which can easily happen against a team like Southampton. So, yeah, frustrating, but we remained pretty true to ourselves after that and carried on.
After a fairly positive start for Asprilla, and maybe not such a great performance from Rajovic, Val decided to make an initial change on 70 minutes with Ince and Bio coming on.
I think Asprilla was a little bit better last game. I think he was a little bit more involved. You know, we kind of talked about him not being able to get enough touches on the ball and not really kind of bringing that left foot into play. He had a couple of shots, you know, was involved in the build-up a little bit more, had a key pass in there, just more touches on the ball, etc. So a little bit better from Asprilla, but not exactly kind of groundbreaking. Tough game for him, though. But against a team like Southampton, I think it was justified to bring him in and keep him in there and see what he could do. And it was, yeah, one of those ones, when it happened, I think Ince was a good option. As for Rajovic, I think better at times, but I think this game really did require a lot of off the ball work. You know, just the 14 touches again for him, no shots. Yeah, no shots, obviously no shots on target, just no kind of real goal threat there. Just the 14 touches, 7 accurate passes out of 10. Not overly involved, but in terms of a striker, this one really felt like you needed that presence of, you know, pressing, defending from the front and just kind of looking for those turnovers. And that's something obviously we've come to expect quite a lot from Bio, kind of running across that back line and forcing those areas, being there to pounce on mistakes. So we've seen him score from this season too. And same goes for Tom Ince. You know, I think his work rate can be a little bit underrated. It's something we saw at Reading as being a real standout, especially kind of looking at the metrics of his season last year for Reading, and off the ball work was really high up there. And, you know, we also discussed against Hull too, that game management, the kind of intelligence later on in the game and seeing how he did it at Hull kind of give you some confidence he could come on and make a difference. And I think he did. Bio especially did actually have that kind of physical impact on the game. So you can't really argue with the subs too much there, I thought.
Do you think Martins was introduced a bit too late, introduced on 80 minutes with Chakvetadze? I mean, it's not a lot of time for him to do something.
Yeah, it is kind of late. You know, I think that's one of the things we kind of struggle to find that balance. Sometimes it feels like subs are too early. We've had a few, you know, half time. We've complained that it's been too much of a disruption. And then on the flip side, yeah, there's been options, opportunities to bring players on, and it's not really happened yet. You could even argue we brought on Healy too late. Obviously, it wasn't too late in the end to equalise, but it felt like the game needed that a little bit earlier. And yeah, same goes for Martins too. It could have happened sooner. And whether that's a case of trusting what he has in the field to kind of turn things around, thinking that their energy, the output's good, doesn't want to disrupt too much. But I would like to have seen him just a touch earlier, personally, yeah.
Mm.
What about you? Do you feel like it was a little bit late?
Yeah, I did. I did personally. I felt as though the game was crying out for Martins, and I felt as though we should have come on at least 10 minutes earlier with alongside Bayo and Ince, but wasn't the decision. Ultimately, it kind of paid off. We picked up the point, but could have been more. I don't know. I mean, I felt as though we probably had the better of, but certainly the first half, and I felt disappointed that we didn't pick up all three. Personally, I know that it feels like a win because we got the last goal in the final few minutes. But if you just take the game as a whole without injecting the passion at the end, it feels to me like we've dropped 2 points personally. But
yeah, it was a winnable game in a lot of ways, and I think we had plenty of chances and half chances that could have led to more. We could be a little bit more precise in certain areas, a little bit more. More confident as well in some forward areas. We could have definitely got that extra goal. And as we said, the goalkeeper had a great game.
He did. Really good save off of, I think it was a Spriest shot, wasn't it? And he also saved from Semmer as well, didn't he? A couple of good shots. That was in the first half, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
And
It's not a given, was it?
No, it wasn't a given.
I mean, I think there's definitely chances. So yeah, if we could, the thing is, I think if you look at the performance overall, it was a good performance. If we could continue to kind of use those sort of countering performances where, there's be teams we're going to play, Southampton, Ipswich coming up. It's necessary to kind of switch approach a little bit and be somewhat pragmatic. This has been a much more cultured version of, a little bit more kind of offhand, counter-attacking, a little bit lower tempo at times football that we were maybe concerned would not kind of find us in this position where we're able to do it efficiently rather than just this kind of haphazard kind of cluster of players moving up and down the pitch that we've seen for Watford before. So yeah, no, I'm quite positive about these last two games, and I think you kind of it'll be easy to underestimate how quickly I think a game like that could have got away from us in even previous kind of times this season, let alone years past.
Rhys Healy then brought on the 95th minute, only 3 minutes to actually do anything. It felt like he had so much that he was involved in just those what is it, 180 seconds, is that what it is? I don't know. It's yeah. Someone's going to pick me up on that now and tell me that's wrong. But everyone's talking about it, and it's amazing. Oh, 3 minutes of football, and he's stolen the headlines. Let's speak about the goal first of all. Really good piece of work from Bayo to actually win it in the first place.
Yeah, it's a massive header, wasn't it? I think Bayo came on. He was quite good, shutting down, making it hard for the Southampton defenders to build up. And yeah, that header was huge. You kind of didn't really expect Bayo to win that sort of ball, but he just throws himself at it. He's so committed to get into that header. And there was no stopping him. And I don't think Rajovic ran a header all day in that position. So for Bayo to come on and do that was really important. And then, of course, that does give us that kind of that board to work off. And he just instinctively took the shot, didn't he? He takes off the chest, and you just can see he's going to shoot in. There's no second thought. It's get a touch and get the ball away. And that's what we talked about, Reece. A different sort of player that's just going to get snapshots away, take opportunities. There might be half chances, but if it's there, he's going to go for it. And well, it really did pay off. So credit to him.
Yeah, it was a poor shot as well, to be honest. He didn't hit it cleanly. Maybe that's what helped him. The goalkeeper, had been saving things left, right and centre all day, but maybe he wasn't expecting that sort of half-hit shot that kind of bounced along. In fairness, I think he was out of position as well, wasn't he, the goalkeeper? So he was always going to be struggling from that point, and it went under his body, which he wouldn't be happy with. But look, doesn't matter how they go in, as long as they go in, and Rhys Healy was so happy to score that goal, and you could see in the celebration that the players around him were really happy for him as well.
Yeah, it must have been a really hard season for him so far. I'm sure he's been very frustrated not to not to have more involvement, and you know, potentially he's kind of put his foot in the door a little bit there. I think he was on, trying to think of the home game it was a couple of weeks ago where he came on and he set up instances against Rotherham. Where he set up ints in the last couple of minutes, he kind of didn't get a shot away and then managed to lay it off and obviously got the winner there, but one of the kind of later goals, sorry. But yeah, I think he's been kind of waiting for that opportunity, and it must be such a relief for him to finally get that. And you could see, as you said, the players around him recognise that too. And I'm glad that he's now given Ismail that kind of problem now. He has to kind of discuss or kind of discover what he can do to get those players in, because you know you want to play the hot hand, and I think you'd back Reece Healy now to bring that energy, bring that tempo into the game from the first minute if he started one. So I'd be very tempted if I was Ismail to just kind of throw him in there and give him a chance. Same with Bio in some sense. I think for me, I know Rajovic has been quite productive, but I think the substitute appearances from both strikers has kind of pushed them a little bit ahead for me in what I'd want to see against Ipswich. But yeah, it's open. It's tough to say, but either way, it's been a good week for Reece Healy.
Mm. Bio clearly the preferred choice for Val, at least in that game, because he came on, on the 70 rather than with 3 minutes remaining. But has Healy done enough to push himself ahead of Bio, or do you think that Bio might be the starter for Ipswich tomorrow?
It's a good question. I mean, the thing is, if it wasn't for the fact that we've been playing with Bio, it kind of feels like, you know, Val really appreciates that pressing aspect to his game. The way that his link play is not, it's not amazing, but it's better than the other players we have in the forward area. So I think he likes the fact that he can bring those wingers into play, and they've got those guys that are coming in and able to get onto their, you know, obviously Semmer can shoot across goal, but on the right-hand side, you're often looking at a Spreer or Ince that can get shots away, cutting inside. You've got good width from the fullbacks. It's not a bad thing to have that guy that can bring those into play. On the other hand, obviously, Rajovic is the complete opposite, getting shots away, scoring goals. Same thing kind of for Healy, but just in a slightly different manner. So it depends what he wants from the striker, I guess. I think against Ipswich, he might be looking at that pressing of Bio as something that he really wants to draw from. But, you know, I think in kind of on the other hand, I'd also like to see, if I was him, you know, what can Healy's energy do in those four positions? It allows you a different sort of outlet to what we have in Bio, and potentially one that works quite well with the players we have there. But, you know, if that was the case, maybe it gives you a little bit more freedom to bring in someone like Martins and have that sort of forward on the left-hand side too. But yeah, it's going to be a good problem to have. And I'm quite curious. It's kind of one of the main things I'm interested to see in regards to that lineup on Tuesday evening.
Mm. And then the other thing we learned about Healy is that he's got a massive throw. I don't know if many Watford fans knew about that. I certainly didn't know about it, but apparently it's something he used at MK Dons quite frequently. In fact, quite frequently when he was playing for and with Russell Martin. Yeah, incredible throw, Jordan.
Yeah, really good. I mean, look, it's an effective tool to have, isn't it? And why not? If you've got it, then use it. And it was good, you know.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets.
In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
We haven't had the last big throw we had was Lee Bromby, right? That's the last one we actually would set up for a throw into the box like that, surely.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone else, really.
Lee Bromby, I think before that, didn't Gavin Mahn used to try, but not really with much.
Yeah,
not really the same.
You're right. But this is Rory Delap-esque. This is killer.
Yeah, it's good. You know, it's an interesting throw. His technique is interesting. Really gets us up and back into it, and yeah, it got the ball into the box and it causes problems, especially against a team like Southampton. They're not the most physically imposing kind of biggest side defensively. You know, Bednarak is obviously quite solid there, but there is a little bit of frailty, and you can see it's causing problems, especially for the goalkeeper. You know, as good as he was, there was a little bit of hesitancy, I think, when you started including something like that. And I think this kind of topic has been talked about obviously a lot around Rory Delap, and the same thing kind of applies to this sort of throw, a little bit different, but it's tough to deal with. And you know, maybe we're not quite at the stage where goalkeepers are kicking it out for corners like Boaz Myhill did for Rory Delap, but
yeah,
it's definitely something that we could be seeing a little bit more of if we can get him onto the pitch.
Yeah, Delap though, perfect position for a throw taker, not so great for a striker to be the one taking the throw in.
He's got a little bit of an engine though. He was getting side to side quite well, especially if it's a later introduction like it was the other night. Then maybe we can find a way. But yeah, not ideal, but you know, it's not like he's 6'3" waiting to get on the end of it anyway. So maybe we can make do there and get some of those bigger guys into the box when those opportunities arise. Because you know, in terms of our midfielders, we've got some physicality and some size in there. You think if you can get the likes of Kone and Kayembe and so on into those positions, then you can actually cause some decent problems.
Yeah, talking about Kayembe, he had a big game, didn't he? Great performance from him.
Yeah. Yeah, he was good again. I think, you know, he seems to be getting really comfortable in that position now. And he had one good opportunity, didn't he, where he cut onto his left foot, obviously, and went to kind of hook it into that bottom corner, just got blocked. And it was just felt like it had a little bit more speed, a little bit more tempo on that turn. He might have got that shot away a little quicker. But yeah, really, really solid. And, you know, I don't think there's many people really at all that are kind of, you know, dying for Imran Luz to get back into that team. And I don't think many would have thought that 6 months ago.
No, you're right. It's crazy, isn't it? Another big game for Hoot as well, particularly up against his old side. And the away fans were giving him quite a bit of jeering from the back. So it was nice for him to be able to get one over them.
Yeah, no, I think he was good again. You know, it's a different sort of game for him a little bit in terms of his output. But it was... one that we, you know, I think he's quite useful in these. I think his left foot's useful anyway. In a kind of a slower, more precise build up, where he doesn't get that chance to really kind of unleash that left foot. When you are playing in a counter attacking side, and you know there's a little bit of space in behind you against a high line like Southampton, and that opposing winger is able to kind of drift across there. And this is even just another aspect. I think you kind of look at the likes of Healy and you think, you know, is that something you can work with? You've got that a little bit more pace in that forward position. You start to open up a few angles for the likes of Hoot to really kind of deliver that ball from deeper positions too, and potentially hurt some of these teams. But, you know, he was good again, I thought. And, you know, also too, been quite critical of Hoot, but also his centre-back partner. And I think that was one of Ryan Porter's better games for us.
Yeah, agreed.
Southampton,
agreed.
I'd say.
What did he do differently that he hasn't been doing for the last few games, Jordan?
I think it's a little simplified. You know, I think there's something... He can overcomplicate things a little bit, Porteous, and he can be a little bit rash or a little bit more like a little too quick to dive in, jump up the line and try and be too aggressive. Not necessarily kind of physically aggressive and giving fouls away, but trying to get in front of that striker and pick up the ball. And it's a risky game. And when it doesn't go well for him, it's gone quite poorly, you know, losing the ball a little bit on occasion as well. But I think he just kind of slowed it down a little bit and just kind of consolidated that role a little bit more and made it kind of just more simple. You know, he was efficient in his passing. He still was able to move the ball a little bit, but he wasn't trying, you know, anything too crazy. he wasn't overly aggressive in his tackle. He was kind of quite disciplined in his position, and I think that's the main thing for him. And you know, discipline is an area, again, not necessarily in regards to getting bookings and sending offs and so on. It's obviously does have an impact for us, but I think discipline of this team was a big one, a big issue that we needed to address in terms of their roles and what's expected of them. And I think this is kind of the first time we've seen from Porteous this season that he's kind of done that, and he looked much better for it.
And a quick word on Ben Hamer. Apparently still keeping Dan Macklin out of the team. He made the saves he needed to make. He's still not a fantastic goalkeeper, but he's doing enough.
Yeah, I thought he did all right, didn't he? He wasn't, you know, didn't have... I mean, is it fair to say he didn't have a ton to do? He made two saves, came and punched the ball out once. One of the saves from inside the box, touched the ball 42 times. You know, decent pass accuracy, kind of clipped the ball out a few times, completed most of those. Nothing too kind of concerning there. I thought he was solid. And again, you're not sitting there screaming for Backman to come back in. You know, maybe he'll drop a howler at some point and people will start kind of raising that conversation. But, you know, if you're Dan Backman, you're thinking, oh, you know, I'm the club captain, just signed a new contract and I've made a mistake, got dropped out of the team. And then now it's a real struggle to even think, you know, you're not guaranteed to walk back in. So you're kind of waiting for that mistake to come really now.
Okay. Well, that was a very short summary of the Southampton game. But let's move on to some breaking news from today, Jordan. And it took us a bit by surprise, actually. Sporting director change for the Hornets, Cristiano Giretta, is leaving his post to be replaced by the former technical director, Gianluca Nanni. That's not only a surprise, it's a bit of a bewildering one, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah, very strange. You know, this is a situation. I feel like we talk way more about kind of off the field stuff than on the field stuff with Watford. But
they make us do it. They make us do it. They do these crazy things, Jordan. We just have to get off the football and start talking about the decisions they're making in the boardroom.
I know, which I don't always hate. I do enjoy it in its own right sometimes too. But yeah, this is an odd one. You know, we had the whole Ben Manga situation recently. It kind of felt like they kind of settled on Giretta to be that guy. But, you know, we talked about this in the preseason even, I think, and definitely since that, where, you know, Giretta had been told he was going to leave and he was free to look for other options and other opportunities. He was interviewing elsewhere, you know, applying elsewhere, and kind of nothing materialised. Then we had this weird statement from the club saying that he'd be there. And I think that kind of, you know, sowed some discontent with Manga and his staff too. Yeah. It made the boundaries kind of very unclear and so on. And I think once Manga was gone, you know, it kind of always felt to me that he was maybe the more agreeable of the two, the easier one to keep. If you're having a problem with one, it's going to be Manga. And you know, Giretta's kind of, you know, a little bit, you know what you're going to get from him a little bit more in terms of that kind of relationship with the owner. But, you know, it's a curious one. You know, I don't think it's for it to happen at this point of the season so suddenly. You have to think something's happened. The fact that he's resigning is a little odd too. You know, it's everything surrounding it's very odd. So curious to if we get any kind of more information on that in the coming weeks. But obviously we've got a new or new-ish director to discuss.
Nanni joined in 2012. You know, alongside Scott Duxbury it was part of a several new appointments at the time. What did he do for us well? What did he do for us poorly? What do you think we can expect from him in his second time round?
I think he's been a bit of a divisive, but somewhat of a controversial figure. I think he's one that his track record is actually relatively decent. I think especially for us, you know, he came in at a time where we needed obviously a massive overhaul. We're going through a huge change with the ownership at that point, you know, Zola as well coming in, Duxbury and so on. And it's still a little bit hard to pinpoint his exact influence because of the way we operate. You know, it's hard enough now, let alone in that first season where things were really kind of up in the air and new. But you know that he was at Watford at a very successful time for us in a difficult period. And I think that time you might not say was overly successful in terms of, you know, final position. Obviously, we didn't get promoted that season. We did get to the playoff final, but with how much change and how much had to be done, you know, the technical director at the time was going to have a real big job in his hands. So to kind of help guide us through that is a positive on his CV, no doubt. You know, opinion is split a little bit about his other appointments, you know, especially most recently Reading. Doesn't kind of fill you with confidence. But I'm curious. I would like to see another kind of release from the club to see if there's any sort of outline of what their plan is with this, because it feels to me like a bit of a kind of interim situation. I'd be a little bit surprised if they see him as the kind of the longer term guy. You know, I'm trying to see if I can find the quote as I'm talking, but there was a quote someone was showing, you know, along the lines of how integral, you know, Giretta and Manga are, and all the reasons as to why they're so grateful this role and what we need. And you know, yet again, a couple months later, we've changed course. So I'll be curious to see what our rationale is, at least publicly.
Okay, cool. Watch this space.
Do you have any feelings on that?
It's like when we went back to for Kike Sanchez Flores. You understand somebody's positives and negatives after working with them, and if you've made a choice to part with them, you know, based on their perceived weaknesses, then why go back? I suppose it might be something that came out of the blue. Perhaps they weren't expecting Giretta to leave, and they went with somebody that they knew would be able to slip in quite comfortably, and that they are familiar with, and that they, you know, supposedly have a friendship with.
I think it's a lot of that.
But it would be disappointing if he's still here for the start of next season.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a short-term move. You know, maybe we're wrong. I don't think he's... I think he's held relatively highly in high regard in certain circles. I don't think he's bad at his job. You know, I think there's some other factors around him that maybe people won't like. I'd be interested to see this window under him. The thing is, I can only imagine what our window is going to look like now in January. I mean, the recruitment strategy has been stopped and started so many times. I kind of dread to think what position they're in right now. But, you know, just a couple months ago at the fan forum, where Gino Potts was talking and referring to the, you know, then technical director at the time, Ben Manga, and Cristiano Giretta, and he was, you know, discussing how Ben Manga is a perfect fit. You know, brings that philosophy across to Watford. You know, Giretta has a slightly different role, but also, you know, integral to the plans. And then so quickly they're gone. It's very odd, and you know, it's kicking that can down the road a little further. And it's a tough one, but it's very confusing. And again, I'm really curious to see what we do in January, how we operate, and what kind of effect that has.
Okay, cool. Yeah, me too. Like I said, hopefully he is just a short term appointment, because I don't think anyone really wants him for much longer than that. Right, let's move on then to probably, if you're listening to this, today's game, which is Ipswich under the lights at Vicarage Road. Ipswich going really strong. The kind of surprise of the season, to be honest. The newly promoted side, second in the table, just 1 point behind Leicester, coming off the back of a decent victory themselves against Middlesbrough. And then Coventry before that. They're high in the form table as well. They're going to be a difficult opposition this evening, Jordan.
Yeah, really tough. It's been a difficult run of fixtures for us. And again, the one thing I will say is that the fact that we should be able to implement a similar style of play three games in a row gives me some confidence. But you know, out of the three, Ipswich can't be the ones I'd be most concerned about in some ways. Yeah, really tough opponent, and as you say, they're in good form, and they're also, you know, they've got to keep the pressure up themselves. It's one of those. Obviously, we know how the Championship is. You have to be consistent. You have to be to really occupy those top two spots. You have to be consistent, especially in those away games. And you know, I'm curious to see how they approach it, but it's a tough one, no doubt.
Yeah, Watford's games against Leicester and Southampton recently, though, stand us in good stead to go toe-to-toe with Ipswich, just based on the fact that we've really held our own against those, and probably would consider ourselves a bit unlucky to have lost to Leicester 2-0, and probably should have got more from Southampton. So it's you know, it's not the worst football that we've seen recently, and maybe Ipswich could be our first 3 points against the team in the top six.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it feels like a good time for us to play them. Obviously, this is probably going to come back to haunt us saying this, isn't it? But I agree. You know, I think we're prepared in the sense that we're kind of in that mindset already. It feels like a kind of mini three game stretch of just, you know, recycle that approach, and we've we've kind of built on it. You know, I think the game against Southampton, I think it was almost an improvement from the one against Hull in some ways. So if we can just continue that and see if we can, you know, maybe just be a little bit more clinical, you know, being at home again, it is quite nice for us. And, you know, a little bit of a different side in some ways, you know, a little bit quicker in possession at times, and, you know, maybe not as retentive through the kind of the back third there, their own third, but still a team that can hurt you in plenty of ways. And they've got the likes of Connor Chaplin, and you know, George Hurst can be tricky, Sam Morse and so on. So difficult game, but I'm quite looking forward to it.
Okay, cool, good stuff. We'll be back to chat next on the Wednesday then, but that might do us for today, this afternoon, this evening, whenever you're listening to us. Tom, hopefully we'll be back on the Wednesday as well. If not, it'll be myself and Jordan once again, and hopefully talking about a victory. You, Ipswich, a side that you know a little bit. You were saying that you're from that part of the world, Jordan.
Yeah, you know, Ipswich and Norwich are always big occasions for me because I was in between the two of them for most of my childhood. So, yeah, it feels like a bit of a derby to me, even though for most Watford fans, I'm sure it's just another fixture. But, you know, there was one of those, there were the two games where the away games were closer than the home games. That was always nice. But, yeah, grudge match for me, big game for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And a very busy December after Ipswich. Preston, Blackburn, Bristol and Stoke all before New Year's Day, which is, you know, quite a few to get packed in.
Yeah, we've got to keep the mics warm now, Matt. We're going to be busy, I think.
Yeah, I think so. All right, then. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Apologies, it was a shorter one than usual, but hopefully we'll be back to our traditional length very soon. If you haven't done so yet, please give us a follow on Twitter. You can find us individually at Jordan Weimer, at TB Bedell for Tom, and at Messi Messiano for myself, at Watford Pod for the podcast. Please do give the podcast a follow because we're trying to get a lot more active on social media. Tom is doing us a big old favour by getting behind that computer desk and typing out all sorts of stuff, which hopefully will get you guys engaged and feeling more buzzed about Watford as we go forward. Also, if you don't mind, if you could give us a little review, the best place to do that is iTunes. Find us Watford Buzz Podcast. Go down to the bottom. There's an opportunity to give us a rating out of 5. And if you leave a little comment, we will read it out on the show. It's a great way to interact with us, and we love reading them out. In the meantime, keep following the horns, and we'll be back very, very soon. See you later, guys. You horns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.